Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Ms. Noel, wonderful songs. Boy, that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to run to Christ. Amen. And that's exactly what we should be doing every single day. And thank you for those good songs. Just rich, rich spiritual songs there and edifying to the believer. Thank God for that. I hope everybody's feeling well here tonight, at least. If you're not, there's three exits here in the auditorium. We got one here. I'm just kidding. But there are some that have been sick, and we need to keep praying that the Lord would heal them. And most folks that I'm hearing now are still suffering with the flu, catching the flu-like symptoms anyway, and need to really pray for them and for healing. Everybody in my household, for the most part, is pretty good right now, thank the Lord. And by God's grace, I would not wish it upon anybody, especially my family, but I just seemed to escape that. I sort of went to Africa, the flu came, I came back, flu left. I don't know, but that's the way it happened, but they're all better, and I thank God for it. I think that's because Joanna used, how many cans of Lysol did you go ahead and use, honey? But I told her to saturate it down, marinate it in Lysol. I was paranoid, but anyway, so far so good, and thank the Lord for that. How many of you were in an area where you got that big rain this morning? Man, I'm telling you what, it rained. I was taking Mary Ann to the school this morning and saw one wreck, and then almost was involved in one. It was scary. I was in two lanes. I was in the left lane. They were in the right lane. Two cars slightly up in front of me. Well, we were going under a light, and it turned yellow. Well, the guy to the right that was in front decides that he could have gone easily, but he decides to slam on brakes to stop for the yellow light. Smack him's head. But anyway, the person behind him decided that they weren't going to be able to stop fast enough to keep from rear-ending them, so they swerve over into my lane. And here I am, the only way I have to go is at the red light is oncoming traffic. They're all sitting there at the red light. And all I could remember myself saying, "Oh God, please." That's all I said. And I believe God sent an angel or something, but that person ended up stopping, the one that swerved over, stopping and allowed me to cut back in before going towards that traffic. So I am so thankful for God's protection, and thank the Lord for that. But you just can't be careful enough, you know, especially when it's weather like that. And you think you got it all down, but boy, you just never know what's going to happen. And I know I got a few more grays on that one. I'm pretty sure I did. It scared me, but I was thankful for the Lord's protection. It was interesting too about the rain. You know, your children take pretty much everything literal. All right, I'm learning that more and more, and their observations, what they observe, is literal. And we suspected that rain was coming, and I noticed coming home yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before, but I noticed that Mary Ann and Thomas Brent's power wheel was out in the yard, you know. And when I came home, and my boy said, "That's not good, leaving it out there. It could get rained on." And I, of course, you know, those batteries get damaged. Man, the batteries are more expensive, more valuable than the actual plastic frame of those things. And so I went inside, or I was talking to Mary Ann. I said, "Now, Mary Ann, listen, y'all's car is parked outside. That needs to be in the garage." And she said, "Well, Daddy, y'all park y'all's car outside." I said, "Well, honey," I said, "I guess you're right, but that thing's got a battery in it that can get wet and be ruined, and you need to park it inside." But she was for sure that it would be our, "Amen, that's right. I know, Caroline." But she was sure that, hey, if Mom and Dad's car is outside, I can park mine outside. But I said, no, honey, your battery goes dead. You have no more power wheel. And so I explained that to her, but you just never can tell. You know, you got these things that your kids can take literal, and man, you better be ready for it, amen? You better be ready to back up what you say and what you do by example. And so, you know, that's something that I learned this week, and it involved rain, and it has nothing to do with the message tonight, but it's something that I was thinking about. And Marianne, she's a trip. Is she here tonight? Marianne, are you back there? You're going to be a good girl tonight, aren't you? I said, the Patch kids are going to be in the church tonight. I said, man, you guys are going to really be able to be good and just be able to. I know Brother Aaron and Lisa have been teaching y'all how to sit still and teaching y'all how to pay close attention. Aaron's like, but we are thankful you guys are here tonight and the little ones, and thank God for what He's doing. Well, let's just, before we get into the lesson tonight, you can go ahead and get your Take It Personally books out if you have them. If you don't, that'll be fine too. We'll just be taking notes. But we're going to be starting the chapter tonight, Sharing the Gospel. Before we do, why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us and to strengthen us as we look to further into taking it personally, the Great Commission. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come before You now with thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord, for all Your goodness to us. And Lord, we are so blessed. We our church is just simply blessed. And we thank You for that because all the blessings come from You. And Lord, we thank You for our country, America. Thank You, Father God, for the freedoms we have. And Lord, I realize with great blessings come great responsibilities. And Lord, one of those responsibilities is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And so, Lord, tonight as we continue to study about our responsibility to take it personally, Lord, would You help us? Would You encourage us? Would You enlighten us? Would You increase our burden for souls and reaching people with Your precious good news? Oh God, would You help me tonight and help our folks, Lord, increase our vision for what You want to do? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we'll start off here. Brother Mike, what do I have to do to get this turned on? Anything specific? Okay, on the video. Where is that? All right, I got you, brother. Let's see here. AV mute, could that be it? Oh, there it is. There we go. All right, so just going to run through. Somebody tell me what the first point was. I'm just going to flip through these. Somebody call them out to me, okay? Just to get a little feedback here. The value of one, all right? So that's what we talked about, the value of how important this is. This is so important. We talked about the eternality of the soul and heaven and hell and the Lord Jesus being the only way. Then we talked about our responsibility to go, to seek and to save. And how does that look? How does seeking and save look? According to the Word of God, what do we go and do? We go, and then what else? We win. That means we tell them about the truth. We see them come to Christ. And then what? All right. We baptize. That's right. We baptize them after showing them the way of salvation. And they receive it. They follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Then what? Teach. That's right. We don't leave them like they are. We teach them and encourage them and disciple them. And, you know, something Brother Josh said the other day in our Sunday school class, and I hope you guys will catch this vision with our Sunday school ministry. Remember, Sunday school is not only for edification. It is for evangelizing as well. It is for evangelization of the lost. Yes, it's to edify the believers that are here to build up, but never forget that if we are only edifying and seeking only to build up instead of also evangelize at the same time, we've missed the mark. We've missed the point. And so I'm hoping in the months to come you'll start seeing some modifications in our Sunday school class that will help gear towards if we have a visitor come in that knows not the Lord, that will be more directed toward the lost. And we want to include that and have that in mind, not to assume that everybody knows. And we talked about just taking ownership, and you filled out your commitment cards, and we got those, and it was a wonderful response. Just want to say, church, thank you. Is there anybody here tonight that was not here or for whatever reason did not get a card? Could you just show, like, all right, Miss Tammy, all right, Miss Cindy, who else did not get a card? This is just a card that just you marked some places where you possibly could be used in fulfilling the Great Commission. Is there anybody else like that? or you ushers get a couple of those ready to give to Miss Tammy and Miss Cindy. And we talked about getting a plan and seeking God's help, preparing a message. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight, especially preparing a message. Tonight we're going to talk about presenting the gospel. Presenting the gospel. Let's read that verse together as a church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. We are ambassadors. That's what we are doing. We're going and presenting ourselves before people in Jackson County and Athens Clark and our surrounding area as ambassadors. We are representing the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And that's why we should take the time we are taking and preparing for this, because we don't want to represent the King of Kings and the Creator God flippantly, do we? We don't want to just go haphazardly and not be putting much thought and prayer and planning into this. We want to be thorough. And we want to be ready to be true representations of our Savior. And that is ambassadors for Christ. Being in Niger, the American embassy there, but some of the mission stations are in the same area of town in the capital. And over there is the U.S. Ambassador. And it happens to be a lady, but she is out often in town. You'll see her car, and with, of course, the security cars around her and following her. You see that often, but she's often, you hear in the news and in meetings and just in different areas, just representing the U.S. And we are here on this earth representing our home country. Now, we're American citizens. I think all of us here are. But you know what? More importantly, we are heavenly citizens. That's our true home. We're pilgrims. We're headed there. And so why we have this little speck, and I mean speck, in all of eternity, this little speck of time, we're going to represent Jesus Christ as much as we possibly can. And so we're going to be presenting the gospel. The first blank there in your book is going to be sharing the gospel. That's what we're going to go towards. We're going to go towards now. We've understood why we share the gospel, for what reason, what is our motivation. Well, it's because God said, first and foremost, and we understood the value of it, the value of one. And so we're going to talk about sharing the gospel tonight. The first thing that we got to do before in sharing the gospel is understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. You know, you can't really share something that you don't really understand. And now don't get me wrong here. I'll explain more about this. But when I say understanding the gospel, I'm meaning the simplicity of the gospel. I'm not saying understanding all the great doctrines of the Bible, and we'll talk more about that, and getting overwhelmed with that. I am speaking now in the context of the gospel, what Paul refers to as the simplicity of the gospel. The Corinthians, we're not going to look at it, but they had gotten away from that. They had gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel, but tonight we're going to talk about understanding. And I tell you one thing, it starts off by understanding what it did for you. That will help you more than anything, dear friend. Understand what the gospel did for you. For you, that will help you in your confidence, because I've noticed I'm not going to get into this much, but I've noticed sometimes when I've had some this intellectual that wants to always take it just to only to reason, and he wants to discredit anything that the Bible says, and da 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 da, and you can't prove, and da 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 da, you can't see God, da 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 da. And I'll say, and sometimes if it gets to that, instead of being contentious and getting angry and in the flesh, one of the best things you can do in that situation is to say, "Sir, one thing you cannot argue with, and that is what the gospel did for me. What the gospel did for me, the gospel changed my life. The gospel has given me hope of eternity. And you can argue about all these things, but I'm telling you right now, I know what the gospel did for me, and you cannot argue against that. They can't. Because a lot of times when you get in those sort of situations, that you're not going to go anywhere anyway. And you can end it in a gracious manner just like that. And you can just tell them that, look, I know what the gospel did for me, and I know, sir or ma'am, God will do the same thing for you if you're willing. And then you say, you know, have a nice day. Because you're not going to get, if you have any other questions, call us, let us know, we're here for you. But you see, you need to have an understanding in your heart of what the gospel is. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about understanding the gospel thoroughly, and then we're going to talk about how to communicate it clearly. First of all, we see understanding the gospel, and we see that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, there in your books, I believe it is, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, that is the gospel, and that's what we're talking about. We are talking about the pure gospel that you see right here in 1 Corinthians. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's simple, isn't it? I mean, you think about it, that's not too difficult. We don't have to dive too deep just to express the gospel in itself. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said it right here in Corinthians. He made it very clear that's what we need to understand, okay? It is something that will help you in your confidence. Now, you don't have to have all the answers to every little thing, but one thing you do need to be sure of, this right here, that Jesus died for your sins, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. That, my friend, is the pure gospel, and that is what we're going to share, and that is what we're going to give by God's grace. Now, with simplicity, we need to learn to avoid some extremes. Okay? That's your next blank there. Avoid the extremes. Now, with all that being said about the simplicity of the gospel, there are some people that seem to make it a hobby to complicate the gospel. And that is something we got to be very careful to guard against. We do not need to make it complicated. Well, what do you mean by making it complicated? Well, there are some that want to front load the gospel with all these elaborate doctrinal and theological terms that your normal common Joe or that lives around this area is not even going to be aware of a lot of those terms. And you can do more damage in confusing them using that sort of things. And such as the hypostatic union. Well, what is that? You know, using terms such as predestination and different things of that nature. And you can confuse people, and that's something that we have to guard against. Listen, that's not what the goal of this is when we go out and speak to people about Christ. Remember, we're keeping it simple. We stay on the gospel. We keep the gospel at the forefront. We're not out there to debate all these different doctrines. If you're not careful, you can get caught up in that. Dear friend, I believe that is a tool of Satan to get people to get you caught up when you need to be knocking on other doors. Now, if you want to do that to a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon, you keep them for several hours so it takes up all their time, that's fine, okay? But so they don't have to knock on anybody else's doors. But anyway, as far as we're concerned, when we're talking to people, if people want to start taking all these side roads away from just the simplicity of the gospel, friend, we're moving on. If they have any other questions, we'd be glad to help. You can tell them, listen, if you have any other questions about what we believe, you call our church, but our pastor would love to talk to you. Again, we're keeping it centered on the gospel. And for instance, somebody say, well, what does your church believe about tongues? Well, we do believe everyone has one, but I don't know. But if you want to talk more about it, you can call my pastor, okay? You don't necessarily need to get caught up in that. And the Lord will give you wisdom and how to handle those things graciously. But you understand my point here. It is, they simply need to understand that Jesus died for their sins and rose again the third day. That's what they need to realize and turn to faith in Him. And so while some folks and some believers complicate the message of Christ, unfortunately, there are others that make it too shallow. There's the other extreme as well. Sort of like I spoke about the other night. You know, it's that idea of, okay, one, two, three, and pray with me. You know, you could pretty much go up to any door and say, sir or ma'am, do you want to go to heaven and enjoy being free from pain and sin, pain and everything for all eternity? Would you want to do that? Yes, I do. Well, sir or madam, do you want to go to hell and burn forever in eternal damnation? No, no. Okay, you pray with me. One, two, three, pray with me. There are people that do that. That's wrong. That's ungodly. That's not the gospel. There has to be a true understanding that that person has sinned. And that person understands that they're before God, and they have to confess that sin to God and confess Him as their Savior. And there has to be clarity there. So there are some that just want to have what we call a prayerism, where they just lead them in a sinner's prayer, and boom, it's done. And that can deceive people. But I will say this along with that: before a person can be saved, they must fully understand that they are a sinner. There's no argument there. And that, because if no one realizes they're a sinner, they don't know what they're being saved from. And I used to do that in evangelism when I traveled with a group. You know, we'd be talking, especially young people, well, what are you... You say, I want to be saved. Well, one of the first questions we'd ask, well, what are you asking to be saved from? And a lot of times in... I don't know. You see, the person needs to realize what they're being saved from. And that sin is the issue here that they are being delivered from. So there's a need to understand that they're a sinner. And then there's a need of a Savior. And to turn to the Savior from that sin, to Christ in faith. Look there in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Gives us an understanding of how repentance relates to salvation. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is a two-sided coin, repentance and faith. You know, you one along the other. And that repentance... Yeah, you got to be careful with that too, because neither do I believe that repentance is talking about lordship salvation. What do you say? Well, preacher, what do you mean by lordship salvation? In other words, there's a teaching out there that when a person comes to Christ, the Lord has to have full control of all of their life, of every part of their life, for it to truly be sincere, for it truly to be real. And that's not true. You know, it is. There is a sense that there's definitely a turning, but that turning is turning from my sin. I like the way it was illustrated before. Repentance is you're going one way in life, my own way. All we are like sheep. We've gone our own way. We've gone astray. And repentance is realizing that where I'm going is wrong. This way is wrong. Repentance is simply turning back to God and saying, God, Your way is right. And walking His way. So it's a simply... In fact, I would even recommend... I mean, it's up to you. If you want to use repentance, you can. But even a lot of people want to understand the word repentance. And you can just simply use the same word that means turn. It means to turn from your sin, from the direction you're going right now, and turn to Jesus Christ as Savior. That is repentance. Going the opposite direction. And then the faith part, repentance, and then it says faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's simply believing Him. that He certainly did die for your sins and rose again the third day. And so we see that both of these extremes, as far as easy believism and also trying to complicate with theological terms, you got to be careful and keep it simple. Keep the gospel simple. And so I'm thankful that it was simple enough for a child to understand. And Jesus made it that way. And so we're going to talk about having a plan. Have a plan. That's what we're talking about next. Have a plan to present the gospel. Now, can I just say this too, along with our study? This is just the basics, okay, what we're talking about. This outline and these verses that you see in your book, those are not the only verses, of course, to use for soul winning. In fact, I encourage you to go find others that you can use for supporting verses that deal with salvation, that deal with sin. That's something that I'm going to encourage you to do. But this is an outline that I want us to memorize and to meditate on and to have these down for sure, the verses that we will see. You will be led by God's Holy Spirit as you're standing there talking to these people. As you're out and about being a representation, the Lord is going to lead you. And the Lord will sometimes lead you to use other scriptures than what you see right here. But it is good to have a basic framework. And we're going to see this presenting the gospel. We're going to see five main truths, okay, that we'll see here in just a moment, and presenting the gospel and making it very, very clear. Now, first of all, we're going to see in this presenting the gospel, there needs to be an understanding the gospel. We saw that. Then there's the giving a clear presentation. That'll be your next fill-in right there, giving a clear presentation. And giving this presentation, what we're talking about, there needs to be an understanding. That person needs to understand that God loves them. That God loves them. I mean, I think that's a wonderful way to start it. When you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Because you know what? Not many people are going to argue with the fact when you tell them that God loves them. That sends a signal right there, a message of love. And I want to tell you, friend, that's exactly what the gospel is. It is a message of love. While we were yet sinners, but God commendeth His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we speak of God's love, when you're talking to an individual, that's the first place you go. You understand that God loves you. And then you have, of course, John 3:16. John 3:16. If you don't have that memorized, you want to memorize that one. And you want to have it where in your book, because, you know, a lot of times you may be able to quote something, but again, I think it's very healthy for everyone to have a Bible with them so where they can open up the Bible and show that individual how to be saved. To show that individual how from the Bible that, listen, this just ain't my words, this just ain't Brinson's words, this is what God says. And John 3:16, just right up the front, that He loves you. And so you say, well, are you going to get to the negative part? Well, yeah, that's going to be the next point. But as you're telling them you love them, and not only does God love them, but then you take it to another level. Not only does God love you, but He wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven one day. Not only does God love you, but He wants you personally to know you're on your way to heaven. And then you could go to 1 John 5:13, and where it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what, church? Know. That you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, God wants you to know. And many times, if you're speaking with perhaps there are several denominations, even right here in our area, but it's often in Catholicism, but also Pentecostal faith, the Pentecostal Holiness Church. A lot of them will say, "Well, there's no way to know for sure. And that's not according to the Bible. The Bible says you can know without a shadow of a doubt. And I'll use that sometimes when a person may say, well, listen, I don't think anybody can know. But the Bible does make that clear. God loves us enough to give us complete confidence that we can be sure that if we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, we do have a place in heaven. And I'm thankful for that great truth of His love. But then secondly, not only do we share God's love with them, and you say, well, how does that look? We'll get to that here in just a minute. Secondly, there needs to be a realization of their condition. They need to, sir, ma'am, you need to realize your condition before God is that basically all are lost without Christ, born into this world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, yet by one man sin entered into the world, and it was passed on to all. And of course, we know in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you see, first of all, there's God's love, but then you see this condition. Like I like to simplify it and say it like this: it's man's problem. So yeah, it sounded good at first, and it is good. It's real good. But then there's a problem. I say, look, we got God's love, but then you must realize, but there's a problem. And then people may be like, problem? And then that's when you say, yeah, the Bible says that we've sinned against this loving God, this holy, loving God. We've sinned against Him. And you share that condition that this death has passed upon all men, that we are spiritually separated from God. And this is an excellent place to use the bridge track. I'm going to look at ordering some of those. I think those are a great witnessing tool when you have the bridge track that represents the crossing the two spectrums there and the two mountains, and going across one is heaven, and then of course this is our life going, and then cross it instead of good works and all these things, you got the cross. And that's exactly what God is. What we're trying to tell these people is they can be reconciled to God. They can be brought together to God, even though they're separated because of sin. And here's where you may get into some comments from people out and about. You've probably noticed them before when you bring up this subject of sin. Somebody may say, "Well, sir, have you ever sinned?" And I've gotten that question, "No, I've never sinned." And they could be as serious as all get out. I've never done wrong. I've done the best I could. And to that individual, again, you don't be sarcastic with them. You be very gracious. But then you can use the Ten Commandments, you know, to just start going down it. Well, sir or ma'am, have you always honored the Lord Jesus Christ 100%? Have you always had Him first every day, every second, every moment of your life? Well, of course, you know that's not going to be, and they're violated a commandment there. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. And there, everybody's put things before God before. Well, sir, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? And you could just go down the list. You could talk about, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stole something? Have you ever took something that wasn't yours? It may not even be physical. It may just be something like time. Perhaps you took advantage of a time that you were given that wasn't rightly yours. Have you always honored your mom and dad? Have you always been 100% obedient? You've never talked back to mom or dad? Oh yeah. Well, I've done that now. Well, the Bible says, "Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." We have violated. And then, of course, you might get them to a point where they say, okay, well, maybe I did do it one time. Well, then there's the James passage. He that is offended in one point, the Bible says what? He's guilty of all. And so with a person, we'll talk more about that, but you understand, a person needs to understand their condition. And most of the time, it's not a problem. Most of the time, at least around this area, from what I understand, you ask somebody, do you know you're a sinner? Most people will say, yes, I am. You know I've done wrong. But that is important to believe. That's what the Bible says. And so notice that there is There is a condition. And I like this little definition. You can use it if you want, but it's something I learned years back. And that is, what is sin? Sin is anything you think, say, do, contrary to God's law. Contrary to God's law, God's word, anything you say, think, even if you thought it, or do, it is contrary to God's law. And that is something that we can make evident. But then, not only we show them that there's a problem, and you usually don't have to stay there long, but then notice that there's a price. There's a price. Notice God's price for sin, and that's the third one. Notice that there's a price to pay, and that's where you can go to Romans 6.23. Romans 6.23, for the wages of sin is death. All right, that wages carries the idea of a payment. That's what you've earned because of your sin. So when you get to a person to realize that there is sin in their life, then you can immediately take them to this passage and say, sir, ma'am, you realize because you're a sin, the Bible says there's a payment. There's a payment that you have to pay. And that payment that you have right now is eternal separation from God. And there is nothing that you can do with your works to earn your way, to earn God's favor and get to heaven, because there is a price to pay that only one person can pay, and that's the second part of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, some people do believe that they can pay this price. They do. Good works-based salvation, that is in essence what they are saying. They are adding to the blood of Jesus Christ. They are saying, yes, Jesus paid it all, but I got to add a little bit more just in case. Now, Jesus said it's finished. The payment in full. I like the illustration. The guy said one time that he said, well, now just imagine if somebody were to buy you a brand new car, a brand new vehicle, brought it up to your driveway, handed you the title, everything, your name's on it, it's fully paid for, it's yours. And you receive that as a gift. Thank you, appreciate that, really do. Man, that's going to be a blessing. Got a brand new car. And man, you got that car, and then before you know it, this person that has received this gift, they're going down the street to this friend of theirs that bought them this new car, and they're ringing the doorbell, and they're trying to write a check for the first month's payment. They're trying to pay for it. The car was a gift, and the guy says, now look, maybe you didn't understand me. I told you that gift was free. I paid for it. I wanted to pay for it. You can't pay for it. It's yours. You got nothing you can do to pay for it. They still write that check. They come back the next month and they try to do it again. And what that was picturing is what a lot of people are trying to do with salvation. Jesus said, I'm giving you a free gift of salvation, but yet people are constantly trying to say, well, I got to do better to earn my way there. I got to give a little bit more money to earn my way there. I got to be in church a little bit more. And it goes across the board with false religions. I mean, where I've seen it the strongest and the most radical has been in Islam. Those folks, I mean, it is so sad. I see it five times a day, you know, and you go by and these people, man, they're sitting down. They got their pots, you got just thousands of pots all over town. These look like they're little plastic kettle pots, but man, they're sitting down, and man, they're pouring that water over their hands, and they're doing their feet, and they're doing this foot, and then they're doing their hands. They're doing every part of their face, behind their ears. They're washing down before they go pray because they're thinking that they're washing away sins by the water, so that they can go and pray and find more favor with God and have a better possibility of going to heaven someday. And they just believe, and there's thousands of other things they're trying to do too, to earn their way. And so when we are presenting the gospel, red flags should go up when people make comments like this. Sir, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven one day? Well, I hope so. That should be a red flag. I hope so. Well, I've been a pretty good person. That should be a red flag. Well, I go to church. That should be a red flag. Well, I've been baptized. And that's real big around here. Say, sir, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, yeah, I've been baptized. That should be a red flag. And we could just go down the line, and that is all based upon what they're trying to say is that I can earn my way to heaven, when they need to realize that Jesus is the only way. He paved the way. And of course, we know there in Ephesians, that's one you're going to hopefully memorize if you haven't already. By grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's bragging in heaven, amen? We're not bragging on ourselves. The only one we're bragging on is Jesus. He's the one we'll be bragging on. He's the one we'll be praising because of what He did for us. So there's a price to pay. And realize we can't pay it, but Jesus paid it in full. And then we realize after the price for sin, we see that the person will exercise faith in Christ that He died for them. And that's where we see in Romans 6:23 as well, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through His death and resurrection that Jesus became the payment for our sin. And like I said, Romans 5:8, that God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it starts off with God's love, man's problem, but then you get to say, yeah, man had a problem, but guess what? God's got a solution. God's got a solution. I always like to bring it back with a positive aspect when I'm witnessing to people. Yes, there's a negative aspect of it, and you must realize that negative aspect, but let me tell you something. God's got a positive aspect to show you, and that is that Jesus paid it all, and that you have a responsibility now, that God's given a solution, and that is, we find in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Does somebody mind standing and just reading that verse out loud for me? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Anybody feels like reading tonight, reading a verse? Can somebody do that for me? Yeah, Brother Tim. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. That's the New Testament, Brother Tim. I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. And that is what we talk about being saved. Somebody wants to know how to be saved? That's exactly what the Bible says. That means being saved is you are being saved from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God in a place called hell, eventually the lake of fire. That is what you are being saved from, and you have a personal responsibility to believe on the Lord. And again, let's stay with the simplicity of the gospel. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's what we see as being very clearly the gospel message. And we also see it stated another way in the Word of God. And John, it talks about being born again, John chapter 3. That's something that I've heard people tell me before. Now listen, you Baptists, y'all always talking about that born-again stuff. And you know, you try not to be sarcastic, but you know, the fact of the matter is, listen, that's Bible. And that is something that is clearly in the Word of God. And that is where you can take them, that there's a time, just like you was born. I was born July 2nd, 1980, was my physical birth. And then February of 2002 was my spiritual birth. Now, I don't know the exact day, but I remember a time in my life there where I was born again spiritually, when my heart and faith turned to Christ. And that's for every individual. There's a just like a physical, there's a spiritual. And that's one, something you can ask somebody when you're talking to them about this. Has there been a time in your life, whether you were young or old, has there been a time where you turned to Jesus Christ? And that is what the simplicity of the gospel truly is. The Bible says ye must be born again. And of course we know Romans 10:13 simply says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. So we see here these truths, after a person believes in Christ, died for them, there is a simple confession, there is a simple belief from the heart that results in an expression of the heart and even mouth of calling out to God. It could be a silence confession. It could be a silence calling. It's not necessarily audible, okay? But the idea is there is an expression of the faith that's in the heart. And people express that differently, but it does come out. The Bible says it there in that passage in Romans, that confession is made with the mouth, that which is in the heart. And we're going to stop right there for tonight because of our time. But I want you to review those again. Review the verses that go with each of these points. Because Sunday night when we meet, we're going to split up in groups. And we're going to practice going over these points with each other. We're going to have the opportunity to express these and share the verses. And just again, we're just trying to get used to the simplicity of the gospel and sharing the simplicity of it. And these would be the 5 points that you would base your witness off of as you are going through these things and the verses that go with each of them. And then we'll talk about more in depth next time, leading to a decision, leading the person to a definite decision. And the reason I'm not getting in that tonight is time, because of time, but really it's something that you got to be very thorough about. And if there's one thing I trust that I can help you in doing this, is I'm praying that we can learn together to be discerning. Because that is so important in soul winning, folks. I have seen people that have been soul winning and they have done more damage than good. When you're talking to someone about the gospel, if they have no interest at all, you do not be pushy with it at all. And you don't want to try to force a decision on something that it's obvious that that person, that individual, is not interested. And if you get in any way think that that person is only doing it just to get you off of their porch, you don't want to do it. And I'm hoping to be able to teach and through that and encourage, Lord, help us to be discerning people, to really, this presenting this gospel part is to those that are willing to listen. And if we want to go further, it will be obvious. I am not about one bit going out here in this community and getting Crooked Creek Baptist converts. Some guy asked D.L. Moody, walking down the street, he was drinking his booze and walking down the street, and one of them said to Mr. Moody, "Hey, Mr. Moody, isn't that one of your converts?" And Mr. Moody looked at him and said, "Yeah, I'm afraid it is one of my converts." Wasn't God's convert. It wasn't the Lord Jesus that converted that man. And Moody even admitted that there's a tendency for us to try to convert people. Hey, listen, that's not our job. Our job is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and let God's Holy Spirit do the converting. And that's what I'm praying, well, God will help us to do. And I'm getting excited, so very excited about what the Lord has in store. So what we'll do on Sunday night, bring your books back and we'll continue this study. We'll talk about leading in the decision and even break up and do some practical practicing there of talking to someone about Jesus Christ.